Saturday morning, St. Louis. Hey, you're here. You made it. You have tuned in to the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. I'm your host, Rich Orris, like you said. And every Saturday morning, we open the phone lines to talk to you about your home, about what you have going on, from simple maintenance fixes to full-on remodeling projects. We can handle anything that you need. The number you need to join the conversation today is 314-436-7900. Again, that's 314-436-7900. Give me a call with your questions about repairs, upgrades, or even those projects you've just been dreaming about, something you want to just figure out, maybe how to get started. We got a lot of information for you today. And also today, we have a special guest in the studio with me today is my friend, my appliance go-to expert, Kim Zimmer from Autco Home Appliances. Kim's joining me today to share some insights on the latest kitchen and laundry appliances, what's new in design, technology, how do you choose the right fit for you, for your home, for your lifestyle. Doesn't matter whether you're updating one appliance or planning a whole new kitchen remodel, this is a conversation you will not want to miss, and you don't want to miss being a part of the conversation as well. So anything you need to know about selecting appliances, maybe finding something that fits your cooking and family's lifestyles and needs, we're both here today to help you out. One more time, you can reach us at 314-436-7900. So grab your cup of coffee, think about what's on your to-do list or that new appliance you're in the market for, and give us a call for the next 2 hours. We'll be here for you. It's all about making your home and your kitchen the best that it can be. And I do want to remind everybody real quick before we get started, we will have the Cardinals cutting in kind of midway through the second hour. So we've got about an hour and a half almost for all the KMOX and Cardinals fans. And you can get into that Cardinals game then. But if you're a home improvement fan, if you want more home improvement after that, you can join us on 97.1 FM at about 12:30, and we'll be over there. We can finish the conversations, again, answer your questions, and see what's going on, and maybe some more with Kim that we can find out about some some more appliances and stuff. So looking to get started today. We've already got Jim on the line, so let's just go straight to the phones and see what's going on with Jim. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Yeah, I have, in the back of my house, it's an L shape. So if you were looking at the back of my house, I got sliding glass doors that leads into the kitchen. And to the left of the sliding glass doors is an extension where the bedroom is. And underneath my bedroom is the basement where the laundry room is.
Okay.
I'd like to know, how feasible will it be to put a mudroom outside of the existing house where the sliding glass doors, and make that a walk-in from the kitchen into the mudroom, and then a door going out from the mudroom to the patio.
So, okay, so you're thinking of moving that laundry up to that first floor and creating a new way out of the house through that laundry room?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so one good thing is definitely that if your laundry is below that bedroom, you're not real far from the plumbing. So that's a good thing for doing that. So that kind of simplifies things for getting it up there into the new space. The hardest part of this whole thing you're talking about is if it's not inside an existing space in the home, in the bedroom or something like that, and you're creating new space and kind of shifting that door and maybe creating like a 6x8 or 10-foot kind of mudroom laundry area, that is a room addition. It's a full-on room addition, and I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of listeners and a lot of clients running around for Mosby and looking at projects like that, where they kind of look and they go, "Well, I just need to bump my dining room, just the front part of it out like 3 feet." And I'm like, "Well, that's a 3 foot room addition. It's got all the aspects of a room addition." So it isn't hard to do. It depends on access and how you get to the back of the house to dig and get all the utilities and everything to it. If you have the bedroom basement with the plumbing down there, the basement below that bedroom, then you can get the electrical and the plumbing up there probably fairly easily. That would be a good part. And then you just build this little room addition and design it, figure it out, and get what you want in it. Sometimes you can, even if the door's in great shape, you can take that door and just shift it and use the same door if it's new enough and in really good condition. If not, you just get a new one and then you kind of...
It's a brand new... Well, it's not brand new, but my house is... in fact, you guys fixed the front of my house.
Front
of my house. Yeah, my front of my house was sinking. And they raised the front of the house and took the arches out and the brick support beams out and put metal columns up. I got a really nice looking house in the front. So you guys did that.
Oh, good. And, nice.
So what I having a patio, that would help for the footing for this little episode I'm thinking about doing, right?
No, the patio really will not, because your patio is just going to be a 4-inch thick concrete slab on top of the standard rock base and that for a patio. And for the room, you will need an actual footing, a full footing kind of foundation underneath there. So we're digging down at least like 30 inches or better to get to below the frost line and solid ground to put in footings and foundation wall. And sometimes, depending on the shape, it just might be the two walls. If it's an L shape, you're just kind of making an L shape foundation. You're using the house's foundation on the other two walls and the new foundation on the new two walls. So it's a little less foundation than maybe doing three walls, just jetting out the back. But you're still going back there. You got to remove that patio. You got to dig down 2 foot wide, and it usually ends up about almost 3-4 foot wide for access. And they dig that out, pour a 2 foot wide footing, about eight or 10 inches thick. And then they put foundation walls on that. And then you start building from there up. So, yeah. And that's what I mean. It's a room addition, and you really got to, you know, think about getting heating and cooling. Hopefully there's like a trunk line running towards that bedroom that we can just tap off of, get you a vent in that space from the existing system. You shouldn't be adding enough space to where you would need a bigger heating or cooling system if you're just talking about kind of a mud laundry room. It's probably got plenty to support it, but we just got to get something out there.
Yeah, we're thinking, because my girlfriend lives directly behind me, and we're thinking about buying a duplex where she gets one side and I get the other side in case one of us dies before the other one can rent it out. But we're thinking about, then again, we don't have to move, depending on the cost factor, just have an addition put to the house with the mudroom upstairs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would definitely... Depending on, you know, the effort you've put into your house and the work you've already done and how long you've been there and what your interest rate is. If you've been there for a while and you've got a low interest rate, that kind of plays into helping that situation out. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend saying, at least starting the process to figure out what it would take and what we think it would be, and getting into some professional services to do some conceptual designs that would kind of show you, here's your mud room, here's how we could do it, here's the shape, the size, what could be in it, maybe even a couple different designs, and then do some estimating to that to let you know how that is. I would recommend you just call the consultant you work with the first time on the front of the house and maybe talk to us and Mosby about, hey, can you just come out and have a conversation about this, and we can
Okay.
Get something figured out for you.
Yeah, I think his name was John, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, I'll just call. Do I ask for any specific department or just tell him what I'm looking for?
No, if you just tell him what you're looking for and just make sure if you call into the office that you tell them you've already done work with us and we've done a previous project, because knowing that, they'll always want to look up that last consultant that you worked with and make sure, is that consultant a good fit? Will it still work? And then they'll usually ask you, how did it go? And do you want to still work with this consultant? And you're 99% of the time, they're like, yeah, nope, that's perfectly fine. And then they set us out to come out. But occasionally when clients call in, they won't get that deep into the conversation every time. And so then they'll set somebody up to come out, and then they'll find out later it's somebody had already been there, and they end up kind of maybe shifting it around and trying to get it back to that same consultant. Because we just want to keep that good relationship going. Once you know somebody and you've dealt with them and you're comfortable, like, why change things?
You know? Also, you guys put up the pop-up drains on the ground from my downspout. So you guys did that also.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I appreciate your help.
All right, no problem. I appreciate the call. Great question, great thoughts. And with my guest Kim here in with me today, from Autco, we can get into some laundry room, kind of your appliances in there, washers, dryer, a lot of information on that. We're going to jump into our first break here real quick. We've got Greg on the line. Greg, we'll get to you as soon as we return. Everybody else, you have anything that you need? Just like Jim, just like Greg, you have anything with your appliances, any kind of appliance selection question, type question, feel free to give us a call, 314-436-7900. Don't touch that dial. Everybody here today, Home Improvement Show. We got everything you need. I have Kim Zimmer from Autco Appliances with me. So again, if you have any type of appliance situation, advice that you would like, maybe on selecting appliances, maybe changing. I got a lot of people want to change from electric to gas. Maybe we have a conversation about the difference in the induction and not changing to gas and things like that that can help you out. So feel free to give us a call, 314-436-7900. As promised, let's get to Greg right away and see what's going on with Greg. Hey, how can we help you?
Hey, good morning. Love the show. I have a Samsung refrigerator, and also like the ice will stop, and then ice will build up to side by side. Ice will build up like half an inch thick in the bottom level of the refrigerator, and then I have to change some kind of filter. It's like a screw-in filter in the middle of it. Is that something that is something wrong with the refrigerator, or is that something that has to be periodically done, like maybe 6 months or so?
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is every time the filter light comes on, change it, because it will cause exactly what you're saying is happening. That is a design flaw that they have in that unit, and it's been well known, but I would tell you it's a service problem that you will address on a regular basis.
And that's too bad.
Yes, it is.
Something pops up on the blue screen there?
Yes. On your control board, it should tell you that you need to change your filter. The minute that pops up, you need to change that filter immediately. Otherwise, you're going to get the ice build up, and you're going to, because the water's draining in there from the filter not being replaced.
All right. And so then, ice won't come out or anything like that once that filter's clogged?
Yep. That's exactly right.
Okay, is this something with the engineering of that appliance?
It definitely is. I've heard this complaint a million times. It's not an uncommon complaint. Like, we get this call all the time. So it's absolutely something that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Greg, it's good to have conversations when you're looking for something up front with someone like a professional in any area, a bug guy or pretty much anything. With appliances, I did the same thing with a dishwasher, except I called Kim. I was thinking about getting a new dishwasher some years ago, and my son saw one that he really thought was cool, and he's like, look at this, and it like the door pops open to like dry the dishes and this and that, and this just seems really cool. And I said, boy, that does seem really cool. I wonder if that works. And so then like a few days later, I just called Kim here and said, hey, I got a question for you. And the answer was, oh yeah, don't buy that. And I was like, oh my, okay. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of issues with the way that works and them having to fix it and things going on. And I'm like, all right, so yeah, I'm gonna go to something else then. And we got a dishwasher from Kim, and the Bosch one, it's absolutely wonderful. And I mean, this thing dries dishes, unless it's a puddle and you have a cup flip over or something, it will dry the dishes. It's quite amazing. So getting that advice up front on that next purchase is a great thing to do.
How old is your Samsung, by the way, just out of curiosity?
It is almost 14 years old.
I would tell you probably got maybe two more years left, because with the water building up back there and causing ice blocks, usually that means something else is going wrong besides the filter having an issue. So is it a side-by-side or a French door with the freezer below?
It's a side-by-side.
Okay, because usually that's something else causing that. So I would say you might want to either have a tech look to make sure that you don't have a Freon leak somewhere in the unit, or my advice, look for a new refrigerator.
Well, that's I'll keep that option in mind. I'm trying to nurse this as long as possible. So
I understand that.
Yeah,
totally understand that one for sure.
Yep. And hey, Greg, I appreciate the call, the question. Awesome. I'm glad we can get Kim involved, and I'm kind of doing I've got kind of the same thing on my mind too. With my refrigerator, and I always like to bring these conversations up because I'm human and I can procrastinate, and I don't always do all the work on my house that it probably should have literally when it needs it that moment. But Kim, my question to you is, does LG have a similar type of thing happening in a refrigerator ice maker with the filter?
Yes. Most refrigeration items have filters built in so that our waters have that filter water. It also helps with all the impurities that we find in our water here.
Yeah.
Ironically, St. Louis has really good water. So to me, it's a little crazy, but they do have filters in them. And the filters, if you don't replace them on a regular basis and you hit that button and you tell it, oh, I'm going to skip and come back later, it will cause problems with that ice maker quicker. It's usually best to change it every 6 months to a year. You'll find that light goes on.
Oh, yeah, it goes on. That's the thing.
Filter, and then make sure you're using the filters that are for that brand. Don't try to buy off-brand filters, because that also causes issues, I found.
Yeah.
So I don't care whose brand it is. Every refrigerator these days has a filter built in. From our high-end to our basic, it all has a filter built in.
So I'm guilty of the exact same thing. I've hit the button. I've put it off. And I've had the same thing with kind of water coming out the back of that ice maker. But I also have another problem with mine that is truly a problem. And so I'm kind of on this cuff of like, well, if I got a 10-year-old refrigerator, I mean, do I have them fix what's wrong, or do I just kind of wait it out? So I've kind of been waiting it out and waiting to get probably a new one instead of really having them come in and fix it.
Well, Rich, you do know somebody who will help you out.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that horrible? Like, literally, talk about procrastinating. We got everybody.
But also,
even the producer's laughing at me.
If you have someone come out and look at the refrigerator and they tell you it's anything to do with your sealed system, with a Freon issue or something like that, in a freestanding refrigerator, I always say, just replace it. You're going to spend more money to repair it than you would to replace it. So if it's an older one, it's anywhere a 10 plus and it's a freestanding unit and it has a Freon leak or something, just go ahead and get a new one. You'll be better off in the end.
Yep.
If the compressors are bad or something like that, boards are quite expensive in these units, as well as what I've found over the years. So if you have a board issue, which runs almost every refrigerator out there these days, that's another one that gets quite expensive. So it's yep. kind of
and it's a shame because I really like my fridge, and you know, you just wish you could get more than 10 years out of it, and that's quite amazing to me when you hear and you see all this stuff and I'll tell you too, when we moved into our home 10 years ago, we had a fridge in our garage in our last house that I couldn't even tell you how old it was. It was given to us from like a friend of my in-laws or something. It was avocado green with the kind of lighted yellow in the center kind of. And it wasn't that way because we bought this new retro thing. It was literally from that time. And that kept the coldest beer in the history of the world. And when we moved, I gave that fridge to a neighbor at the end of our court. And we took our fridge and we used that as our spare one. And of course, we bought a new one for the main kitchen because there wasn't one in there. So we bought a new one, and then we took our one from our house and put it in the laundry room as like a spare fridge. And literally within 12 months, the one we moved had broke down and we had to get rid of it. And then we got this, and we didn't have a spare fridge again. And I'm just like, I should have just kept the avocado 40-year-old refrigerator that ran like clockwork and was absolutely freezing cold. It was the craziest thing ever. But it's amazing.
Those refrigerators were made like beasts. And they yeah. would have lasted another 40 years.
Yeah, it's like still going, still
it's
going strong.
It's the freon that was used in them that made them work so well. I yeah. would do that 100%.
Yeah, it's amazing. But hey, we got to get into a break. We got Eric, we got Stacy. When we return, I promise we'll get right to both of you when we're back. Don't go anywhere. 314-436-7900 finds us. All right, we're back. We're back. What do you need? What do you got going on? We can get your appliance questions in. We can get any questions about around your house in. Just give us a call, 314-436-7900. Let's jump right to Eric, as promised, and see how we can help our friend Eric out there. Hey, can you hear me? What's going on?
I can. Good morning. I have a roofing ventilation question. We had a new roof put on earlier this year, and the previous roof had box roof vents, and the roofer, instead of that, put on a ridge vent, which would seem like a good solution, except that our house doesn't have eaves or soffits, so we can't have the intended ventilation to vent the attic, the unfinished attic. We have 11 inches of blown-in insulation in there, but concerned that the hot air in the winter will be drawn through the ceiling and go up through the ridge vent. We have existing gable vents there, and they've offered to replace the gable vents that are there when they start the siding project next.
Okay.
But, again, I've heard that's not a good solution for venting an attic, and in hindsight, I wish I had asked about intake vents along the drip edge of the roof as another way of bringing air into the attic to go out the ridge vent as the outtake. Do you have any solutions about what to do at this point?
Yes, I do. They're probably not going to be real friendly, not going to like it too much, mainly because the statement you made about that kind of drip edge, talking about getting air in there when they did the roof, would have been the time. And I would say it's a shame how many shingle applicators or roofers will just put a ridge vent on a house, but will not analyze how the attic actually ventilates and how it should work. They've been taught that the ridge vent is the best way to ventilate an attic space, and it's really not. It's the best way to get air out of and exhale air from an attic space and to let it out. But it's you need air coming in. You're on the right track. And if you're going to do the siding, what I would say is those gable vents, you want to close them off. You want to completely eliminate them, and you do not want air coming in those gable vents anymore, because that will short circuit that attic ventilation just as much as if you imagine those gable vents are really high up on that gable end, and it's real close to the ridge vent. So the ridge vent will just pull air in from that gable vent and out the ridge vent. So you're ventilating about a 3, 4, 5 foot circle at each end of your attic and nothing else. So blocking them off and getting intake down low that comes in and goes up that roof line is the best way to get that to work. And there's a few ways to do that. There's a way that, and maybe you still have some opportunity to do this if you're siding the house. Are you getting new gutters?
The gutters were already replaced.
Oh, okay. So, because the drip edge one you were talking about, where basically they cut off some of that front fascia down a little bit lower from the roof line to create space, and they put on a drip edge that has an area that lets air in. And then what happens is usually when you do that, your gutters end up just kind of dropping down a little bit lower to make sure they're below that and that you have that space for the air to come in. So you generally need gutter work if you try to do that drip edge that has intake. There is another intake that you can do that it's basically like half a ridge vent, and it goes down low on the roof, and you'd have to take off shingles about three rows high, and you cut through the plywood just like they did at the ridge. You cut out like a 2-inch strip and you install this system, and then your shingles go back over top of it. Mm-hmm. And then it'll create air coming in about two or three shingles high and let it come in and let it go up the roof line and let it come out. And then you can block your gable vent, and then you'll get that working really well. But you're going to have to strip like 4, 5, or 6 rows of shingles to cut the plywood out, put the ice and water shield on, make sure it's there, and then you put that ventilation system on. You put ice and water shield that kind of goes up from that ventilation system up, and then you do your shingles back both sides, and that'll keep any water from kind of growing uphill when it freezes and getting into your roof system, and that'll get you your ventilation. It's called like smart vent.
The cost of a roof, you know, that sounds very expensive.
It can be. It can be very expensive. And then, yeah, the other downfall is you end up with it sucks air from the house through the light fixtures, through the attic scuttle door, all that. And just sucks conditioned air from the house into that attic, and that's not a great thing either.
Do you think long term it would be cost effective to have this intake vent installed, the one you're talking about, versus having all that air loss?
I think so. It wouldn't be more cost effective to install that on both sides of your roof, because that's going to be pretty costly. It'll be expensive. Yeah. On a roofing standpoint. It might be a better investment or a lesser investment to actually get rid of the ridge vent that they added, leave the gable vents, and just put two of those static boxes towards the middle of the roof back, and that'll pull air. And because that ventilated for a really long time and it probably didn't work half bad. Mm-hmm. And the only other option is, instead of those like static, what they call the turtle box vents, to do an actual literal turbine vent, the old school that spins. You put one of those in the middle of that roof on the back side, and you leave those gable vents open, and that's going to draw air in both those gable vents and out the center of that roof, and that will ventilate very well, and that exhausts very well. It's tall, it spins, it's ugly. That's why we don't really use them anymore. You can still get them, but it is a great way to ventilate and exhaust the attic and get rid of the issues.
The science of it is hard to understand because it would seem that the ridge vent would do the same thing as that vent you're talking about, but it maybe what you're saying is that it does more than we want.
Well, and it does, because the thing you got to imagine is if you do a turbine, it's about a 1 foot by 1 foot square hole in the center of your roof up high. So if your roof is 40 feet wide, it's pulling air from 20 feet away each direction. That ridge vent is 40 feet long. So it's pulling air from a foot away. So it won't exhaust as well from the center because it's trying to get the air. Once it gets the air, it'll go in that gable and out that. It's a short circuit how that entire system works.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate your expertise on that.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call, Eric. We need to get into our last break here, the third break of this hour. So we're going to get towards that. And, hey, for everybody, remember, you can find us here, 314-436-7900. Don't touch that dial, and we will be right back right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. And, hey, we've got a lot going on. We've got Kim Zimmer from Autco Home Appliances with me here today. We've been having some good conversations, taking some calls, answering some questions. So let's go right to the phone to Barbara and see what's been going on. Barbara, you are like the champion of holding the line. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you.
You're very welcome. How can we help you?
My husband and I are elderly. So we're trying to make changes in our home to keep us in our home longer.
Uh-huh.
And one thing that has come up is our downstairs washer and dryer. And we've looked into getting a dryer-washer combination put in our closet. The closet is large enough to take a stackable washer and dryer, but that cuts down on some of the closet space. So what do you think about a combination washer and dryer? We realize it's a small machine. There's no venting, and it takes less electricity to run it. So what do you know about it, and how can you help us?
Yeah, no, they're definitely very nice, and I think you can get them a little bit bigger possibly than you think. But I've got Kim with me here. And so, Kim, what do you feel about that type of combination unit?
So when you talk about all-in-one washers and dryers, the one that we're selling the most of right now is GE Profile. And the unit works really well, and it's a heat pump dryer, so you don't have to vent it. All it needs is plumbing for the washer to work. We have one live in our showroom in at Page, and I use it every day. Like, I go in and do the towels for the office and stuff, and it takes about an hour and a half to do towels, but for me, that's not that long when you look at it from the aspect of, you know, starting a load and finishing a load. Are they efficient? They're very efficient. This is a bigger unit. It's not one of the smaller ones. But when you talk about stacking units, there are smaller stacking units that you can do that heat pump dryers work with as well. So you have both options. You're not limited as to what can fit into that space. Two of our brands, one called Asco and one called Bosch, both make units that are 24 inches wide, 24 inches deep, and 34 inches tall. So when you stack the two units, they're only 70 inches in height, but they're only 24 inches in depth. And they only take up 24 inches in width, which gives you more space inside of that closet area. And because they use heat pump dryers, then we're not taking up space with ventilation ductwork in the way. I would tell you to come in and look at both units because we have them both in our showroom and can show them to you and speak to them very wisely. Since I own a heat pump dryer in my home, I can speak how well it works.
We're looking at a 2.4 cubic foot.
Yep.
GE.
Yeah.
That is pretty small compared to a full-size washer. So would you recommend that for an elderly couple?
Well, what's the biggest item that you wash?
I suppose towels.
Okay. I will tell you that I have a 2.4 washer at home. It's just the washer, and I can put my king-size comforter inside of the unit and wash it wonderfully.
Okay. Well, we've taken big items to the laundromat just to save our washer, our bigger washer. We do have the bigger washer. So we would have that available if needed. The only thing is we're wondering if as we age, will we be able to get down to it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Totally understand that. My advice is first come in and let's look at the units that we have on our showroom floor so I can show you the different sizes. I literally have comforters in a couple of them, and I have body-sized towels in different ones. So I can at least give you that good visual so that when you're looking at it, you can see how much can fit into one unit. And sometimes that helps with that decision processing. And for me, I think the visuals are very important for clients because otherwise they just kind of sit there and look at me and go, that's really tiny. How am I getting anything in there? This way we have something in there to show you how much can truly fit in and be washed well.
Yeah.
So you do have a 2.4 cubic foot on your showroom.
Yes, we do.
Okay, well,
yep.
That's a good thing.
All right, Barbara, the other thing.
What's the name of your business?
Well, I work at Akko Home Appliances, and we're located at 11610 Page Service Drive in 63146 zip code. And we're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 4:30, Saturdays from 9 to 1.
And so, Barbara, the other thing I would recommend is once you see kind of what you like, there's a lot to figure out for the project as far as where do we get plumbing from, how it fits into the closet, what can be left. So I would definitely recommend, like the company I work for, Mosby Building Arts, we can come out and we can figure out that space. And we can walk you through some conceptual renderings and some information on which unit fits better and why. So you can kind of make what the space you're left with and all that a part of that kind of answer also. So you can kind of understand the way a couple things can fit and know how we're getting plumbing there and everything and then make that decision once you've seen the units too on which one helps you the most with what you need in there. So we can definitely help you with that, and you can give us a call at 314-909-1800. We're completely out of time for this hour. We'll be back next hour after the news. So thanks for the good question, Barbara. For everybody else, hang on through the news.